Mr. Chadwick, Reel 29. We got to the stage where you come back to the School of Infantry at Warminster. What year was that?
1965. March 65.
What post were you taking up there?
Regiment Sergeant Major of the school.
What did that entail?
Drill, a lot of administration, because the whole school ran courses of every denomination, worldwide troops. A lot of demonstrations, which I only took an administrative part in. I was there dressed up, brown boots, brown gloves, Sam Brown, which wasn't my scene at all. But I was there.
Could you do the drills? Because, I mean, they'd be doing heavy infantry, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, I can do it. I've done a drill course. I've done the All Arms Guards drill course.
So you could do heavy as well as light
infantry? I'm with the drill, no problem. Yeah. And we could do really heavy infantry. But the important thing about arriving at the School of Infantry, from arrival to departure, I'd left the family. Because I, in the DLI, that was my family. I saved myself, I'm pretty well known there. Still am. But it was a different ball game. And when I went into the mess, Donkey Wallopers, Pioneer Corps, Engineers, Sealies, Chinese, Japanese, Maltese, everything. All different regiments, all different corps, conductors, which was tricky. Now, a conductor, a WO1, who called themselves RSM, you can't be an RSM unless you're in the infantry. They all like to say RSM, they're not the conductors. Those conductors in the regiment, they were on pounds a week more than me. Highly skilled tradesmen. But I was the boss, and I had to prove it straight away, or they would stamp on me. For instance, in the mess meeting, when I arrived, they would sit down in the chair and say, well, I think RSM, we should be doing this, that, or the other. Whereas the sergeants and men would stand up and say, well, I stepped in straight away. I said, look, gentlemen, I much appreciate the conductors. We're equivalent in budget rank. But there's only one head of this mess. When you speak to the chair, please stand up. But he didn't like it. He got used to it. And it was the only sensible thing to do. And he would have taken over. I'd say there was 20 odd conductors. A hell of a size of a mess. And you don't get the same spirit there as you do in a regiment. You haven't the same sergeant's mess topic. Plus, you're based in the United Kingdom. And you couldn't expect them with families, and a lot of them have been at that school for years. They'd go down to a civilian pub for the drink. So, once a month, we had a compulsory night, which had never been known. And it worked. When they saw, we'd be interested. And I mean, after I pulled them up, I'd go straight across in the mess after and start chatting them. So there was no, I don't bear a grudge. I say what's got to be said, after thought. I don't just make rash decisions. And within a couple of months, the place was running great. But it was just different. The commandant there was Major General West, who'd been my Commonwealth commander in Korea. He commanded the Commonwealth Division, so he enjoyed anybody from Korea. He ran courses from the whole world, and that brings me to these two things. Rhodesia and Nyasaland. While UDI came in, was it 65 or 6?
About then.
Oh, it was then. I thought it was disgusting. we had four officers on the All-Arms Tactics Wing there from both Egypt and Iceland. And of course, they all used to like to get invited to the Sam's Mess. Had a hell of a social life. I didn't go to it. It was horrific. You'd have drinks at lunchtime with a course that was leaving. They all wanted to have a drink with you. You'd have more drinks with a course that just arrived. The officers coming over, us, me going to the officers' mess. However, the night that it happened, UDI, the very next morning, these officers were literally kicked out of the School of Infantry. They checked every item that they had on loan from the quartermaster down to bottom sticks. Oh, it was disgusting. And they to be out of the barracks by 12 o'clock. So I spoke to them in the morning, and one of them said, "Mr. Chadwick, will you be at the guard room approaching 12 o'clock when we are leaving?" I said, "Yes, I'll come and see you off, gentlemen. I'll be there." And when I went up, they brought these two as a souvenir to leave behind in the officer's mess. And they came to the door, they said, "The only person who really thinks should have these is you. You've treated us better than anybody. Keep them as a souvenir." So we always say that the last souvenir from Rhodesia and Iceland that ever came into the British Army.
They're ashtrays, aren't they?
Yes.
Bronze or copper?
Copper.
Copper.
Copper. That's why I've always kept them. And other than that, as I say, we had terrific amount of demonstrations for all national Russians.
But you weren't leading them.
Oh, no. I was there. I was on the ship. I had to stand there smart, looking at part.
Were new weapons and tactics coming through by now? Surely they must have moved on from Sten and things by then.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there was more than just... You see, there wasn't all that much weapons because the school of weaponry, the small arms school, is at Hyde. And when you go there, you do a course on the theory of small arms fire. And that is the school to learn your weapons. Your heavy weapons, mortars, machine gun, anti-tank, are run at Netherhaven, and I think still are.
And had you kept up to date with improvements in weapons? Really?
Not by then. I mean, my weapon training days were over with. I've been out of them about 5 or 6 years then, and I'd left behind. I could take the weapon. One thing I'd like to tell you, Peter, when I arrived on my wing, I had the famous Colonel Lowry. Now, I classed this man as a professional picker up of paper and being respectful to him. And what he would do, he would write in his book a piece of paper found in the tennis courts. You know where the netting is? These high fences they put up for tennis courts. There'd be a bit of paper stuff. So I put Daily Express 7th of May in his notebook. And if it was there next day, it was 7th of May. I found a piece of paper this morning, dated 7th of May, it's been there 24 hours. Hey. Yeah. Well, everybody knew. Mine. He was a very, very thorough man, and he got promoted full colonel to go for the pay corps. Well, my game was there lost. Probably lost there, but I admit it. He really sent me mad. But apart from that, there was a Hunts ball there, and that's when the Perfumo case came up. And at the time, Christine Keeler was living just outside Warminster, and she was in the Bath Arms every Saturday night when the case was going on. But we knew the night before it came out what had happened. And there was a lot of tales being told there, but I wouldn't have been.
Tales about what? Keeler or Perfumo?
What about other people who still have been involved? And I mean, the IB never came to fruition, so it's there. There's no doubt in my mind it happened.
Who were they naming?
A member of the royal family.
Prince Philip.
A member of the royal family. it was such a shock, and that night, Mr. Pickard was there. The first and only time I've ever seen him. There was an incident there where two officers, donkey wallopers, you know, the cavalry officers, went high spirits. If it's in the canteen, it's a load of idiots. If it's in the officers' mess, it's always high spirits. And the entrance to the School of Infantry were two oil paintings of Montgomery and Alexander of Tunis. Montgomery of Alamein, the field marshals. Well, they went berserk and they run amok with fire extinguishers. And they damaged the oil paintings, I gather, to the tune of quite a few thousand. And also that night, one of the ladies who were there lost two very expensive earrings. The end product of that was one of the cleaners found the earrings after inspecting her Hoover bag, and they were returned to the lady in question, which was quite good. The two officers, obviously I wasn't present, but I know what happened, they were marched in front of the commandant, told to pay £2,000 each, reprimanded and sent on their way. Well, they just get the checkbook out 10 days, sign a check for £2,000, and that was it. There was no problems asked. But a routine job, and then we come to the culminating point where my wife decided enough was enough. Well, I thought, well, I can't go on the 18 months. I think that was in the contract. So, she kept finding jobs for me in the paper. And I used to keep saying, I'll take these down to the office and ring up. And I come back and I tell her white lies. I say, oh, bless us, I wrote that job up. And it was X pounds per week, you know, £10 a week for a start. Awful prospects. Well, this went on and on and on. And this job came up. Mayor's officer requires for Wallasey, Merseyside. So I said, well, I'll take it down to the office and I'll send it off and see what comes out. There's no, I think we'll fill it in here and I'll send it off. I never got a letter back within about 3 days for an interview. So I came down here, no intention of accepting this job in all the world. And I think there was 22 of us here for this particular job. So we were briefed then, or later found out, when Mr. Harrison, the town clerk, and this is what you had to say. Members of the press, gentlemen of the press, members of the public, the upstanding and pleased to receive His Worship the Mayor, Alderman T. Garnett, the Justice of the Peace, and Mrs. Garnett. Have you got that? I said, I've got it. And then he was to go into a committee room and make that announcement. Well, I had a voice there, my foghorn. I could throw. I've been trained up to throw my voice. Well, I went in, I took the roof off. I thought, that's better. Came out and I got the job. I went back, handed in my notice, which I could have done over the time.
When was this?
1966, November. I thought, I've got to come up some time. But the good side of it was there was a house not this, a house. So I saw where to live. That was the main thing.
Could you have stayed in the army? I mean, other than you might have been divorced if you had, but I mean, could you?
I don't think they. I think they would have let me sign on the ships to stay at the School of Infantry. But no, I was going to see. I wasn't getting the sport, you know, I wanted to. I was dulled up all day.
You couldn't have gone back to, say, Brandsbath or to the DLI depot or Borden or?
Oh, I wouldn't have stepped at Borden either. Because that was Cosmopolis and all the light infantry was there.
What about to a DLI depot then?
Oh, well, we had the depot by then. Borden was the depot. They were run down to nothing by then, the depot.
Have they already decided to close the DLI then? Because is it 68 they went?
2 years after I came out, the battalion went.
Were people aware that the DLI were being wound up?
Oh, it's all on the cards. Though the light infantry was being wound up. In fact, it's in its entirety.
So you didn't have much chance to stay other than in a job in the army that you didn't like much?
That's right. Ex-regimentally employed. A lot of people say I'm still getting the money. That wasn't my. I wanted to enjoy what I was doing. And had to, I suppose, really, had to think of the family and getting them into an established school with schools all over the place. And ultimately came here. But when I arrived here, I shan't name them, I was sitting around drinking in that mayor's parlour. Coming home at 2 in the morning, just sitting there, smoking and drinking, waiting for old Tom, blind pew as he called him.
And all you had to do was announce him?
Announce him and sit there and drink.
Did you have a uniform?
Oh, yeah. I looked like a naval officer. Tattered a coat of arms on, braid, reefer jacket, trousers. What were those bags called? Burberry. A black Burberry. Oh, I looked a proper admiral. Medal ribbons. All this. Oh, yeah. And I went on and I came home. I said, wait a minute, I just can't stick this. I said, oh, I've got to be more active than this.
Were you missing the army?
The only thing that happened to me, I missed it more 18 months later than I did initially, because I come to a new place, and I think that took my mind off. But the thing that struck me most, I've been here about 3 days, and I've been in this pub, the Wellington. You may have seen it when you were walking around, but it wasn't an obvious town by anymore. I got a bit of a skin for it. And I was living up Seaview Road at the time, only lived there 6 months. And I bought this. I got quite high. So I came out, instinctively pulled myself together, and halfway up the road I said, hey, not in the army any longer. And I just relaxed. And I thought, this is funny. You know, and that's the only thing I had. It was 18 months later when I was going to join the Merchant Navy to go to sea.
This is when you were unhappy with the job.
Well, they sent me on a course for a week at the nautical school over there for serving drinks and all this. And the chap over there said, would you like to go to sea as a master at arms for Kinard? I said, I didn't tell him. The next day there was a fellow there. He said, you couldn't sail in a fortnight, could you? I said, I think I could, yeah. So I came home and she went berserk. She said, that's it. I'm back to Accrington with the kids and don't bother. So I went back and I said, no, I said, I can't leave the family. I said, I'm really a bit selfish in me to think of it. Went to Camel Lairds. And started at the bottom.
So you left the clerk's, the mayor's job?
Mayor's job.
What did you start at Camels?
They wanted me in the Paris and I said no. I'm coming as a writer of Bobtail. And I did. I didn't even intend staying there. And I looked around and I found this spare gear job for trials. Well, I finished up like foreman in charge, like stores, but supplying all trials, going to see on the trials. I worked on the QE2, I worked on the Polaris submarines. I was away quite late at the time, but paid good money. And that brought me into civilian life, then breaks. And I stayed there till I was 60. And the yard was falling apart. It was boring. It was ludicrous what was going on. So I went in, I went across to Dennis Square, and I said, Dennis, I'm going to pack him. They were going by the hundreds. So I was made voluntary. They didn't make me redundant. I was voluntary redundant at 60. And I've never been bored one bit from the day I retired.
You had a break from the army, didn't you, before you joined the regimental association and things, or before you got active in...
The first couple of years I went up, and what was funny, that period every year, the second week in September, was the finest week for me to do all my stock taking. We never had trials that period, and it was very hard to get away. And I thought, well, a break will do no harm. And I had a break for maybe 8, 9, 10 years. And then when I got on top of things, I said, right, I'll go back home. It was fantastic going back for the first time. It was really great. And I haven't missed many since. It's just that nice little break, haven't you?
Did you... I mean, one of the things, you've been in a hard drinking mess for a long time. Did you have trouble breaking that habit?
No. But you see, there again, although I've always said I was hard drinking, I was never near a vestige of becoming an alcoholic because I got it out of the system. I wasn't a barfly sitting there with I threw in another, and I most likely wouldn't have a drink the next week.
Like you said about your training.
Yeah. Or a proper Wednesday night.
So in civilian life, it didn't lead you into any trouble?
Oh, no. The first few years up to mid-50s, I used to go out two or three nights a week and Saturday, Sunday.
So no problem?
Oh, God, no. Not much of that. Never been a drink problem. Oh, no.
And you're still keen on the DLI, obviously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, be to the end. Ironically, I was just looking at this when I opened it.
And she notes.
Yeah. That's Albert Shipman. Sticks. That's his nickname. And he wrote, now that's typical of Shipman. He's practically a dying man. He sent me that note about this Polish man in the 16th Battalion. Now, that's typical of Albert. He's doubly anything for the regiment that I've reached. Great lad. And I must, the reason I rang him for a fortnight, I know his wife